B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Felger and Mass. We'll get back to the big board just after 5:30. We'll throw for defensive ends. We threw for defensive tackles earlier. Defensive ends will get put on the board.
Premium position.
Again, at about 5:35, and that is a premium position. That is definitely an area of need. I could see them going there at 15. I could see them going there in the first round. I can't see them trading up. And that's not to say I rule it out, because you can't rule anything out with them. And this part I'm less outraged about. I'm outraged by the Cam Newton piece to their quarterback plan, such as it is. I don't think they really have one. The Cam Newton piece is the one that bothers me. The draft thing, they want to trade up. I don't expect it. I'd be surprised if it happened, but I'd be happy. Okay, you targeted a guy. You like a guy. You went and got a guy. Good. Happy for you. Excellent. I'll take it. Or if you just take one at 15, or if you even do it in the second round. That to me is, I've mentioned this a million times, it's just not part of my, I'm not one of those draft guys that you got to go up there and get him, you got to take this guy over that guy. It's not the way the draft works. In my mind, it doesn't. And I don't even go back and say they should have lost more games and been in a better position, Murray, because, and I direct you because, you know, we debated this during the year.
Right.
I still think the odds, so let's say they to be the first or second pick to have your say on the board, they would have had to be a 1 or 2 win football team. That wasn't happening.
Yeah, they're coached too well. But my argument was if they lost the Cardinals game and the Monday nighter against the Jets, they'd be at number 8.
Okay, so let's just say that then. Then they lost a few more, and now they're in the top 10 and they're at 8. I think the odds of their being at 8 at the exact point where a quarterback they like falls to them is, I think those odds are long. I don't think, you know, I think it's just as likely, if not more likely, that they'd be at 8 and would really trade down because the quarterback available to them wouldn't be their guy.
So I won't argue that. For how they handle the draft, and I think for how Belichick looks at the quarterback, which is devalued, the difference between 8 and 15 is moot.
Right. So, that's how, if you're 1 or 2, okay.
That's crazy. You would want to be 1 or 2, especially with, if you could get 1 and have Lawrence. But 8 and 15 for this team, and again, and how Belichick drafts, it really doesn't matter that much.
Okay, but what if it does in terms of just collateral overall to address multiple needs? So, again, look at what Miami got from San Francisco to drop however many spots, and then they moved back up.
Well, they were at 3, Maz.
Okay, so, but
that's a big difference.
But you can't get an extra first from going to 8 to 15?
We may now get to see it because the Panthers are at 8 and they're looking to move back.
So I don't think so, Maz. I don't think you get that much. But
well, actually, we have an example right here. In 2016, the 8th overall pick and the 176 picks were traded by the Titans to the Browns for the 15th overall pick, 76th, and a 2017 second rounder.
So the 76th was a
third round
pick.
So you get an extra second and extra third, but in different drafts.
Yeah. Yes, you'd have more collateral at 8. I still don't think it's worth intentionally losing games. I don't. But that's just, you know, we can agree to disagree on that. Again, Carolina's open for business at 8. I just don't see you being in on that. I feel like the teams that would do that are the Washington football team. That's the team that gets reachy and desperate at that position and overvalues the thing and gives up too much. And that's that makes perfect sense to me that they would be that kind of team that would do it. I can't fathom that Carolina would be open for business at 8, and you would offer more than, say, Daniel Snyder would offer to move up to that position and take a quarterback. I think it's so in your DNA to say, let that idiot trade up there for that guy. It's not worth it. And we're going to sit here, and we're actually going to trade down and get the better player. That's how you approach it, where Snyder says, no, I need the guy. I'm going to overpay for him. I think you're probably right. But that's why I'm telling you, I'm not so horny for them trading up in the first round. I don't need them taking a quarterback in the first round. I need them taking a good quarterback up high. And that's a very broad statement. I don't need it to be at 15. I don't need it to be at 8. I do need them to have something more viable than Cam Newton in the meantime. So
Cam Newton's the problem. There's just no way around it.
That's the problem. And you've had so long to figure it out. You had last offseason. You had this offseason. You've had 2 full offseasons to come up with a better bridge, a better transitional guy to your drafted quarterback. than the worst quarterback in the league.
That it's Cam, and we're also getting the tire pumping of Stidham again, too. That's what makes it even extra annoying.
Every time I say it, I get a little angry.
Yeah.
Here's Vic in Virginia. Let's lead it off with him. Go ahead, Vic.
What's going on, guys? I got two questions. Is it better for Bill to fail with Cam or with Jimmy? And has Bill
better for who? Like, what do you mean by that? Let me just stop you. What do you mean by that?
If we go trade and get Jimmy and Jimmy fails, how much worse does that look on Bill?
Okay, I get you. So, well, I mean, so what? He's going to keep with a suckier quarterback because it looks better for his legacy because he's not going to have lost with the guy that he wanted?
Oh, yeah, that's a good reason to do it.
I mean, that's like now we're really sort of the tail's wagging the dog on that one.
And even so, like the Garoppoloites, like Maz, would still have the built-in excuse of, well, you know, he's been removed from the system. He's dealt with all these injuries. What did you expect?
So Cam Newton's the fall guy for Bill. That still doesn't count because he's also the GM.
Well, look, again, I think that works once. Once. What'd you bring him back for? Like, again, you want to say the first time it was out of your hands, if you want to buy into that theory, which I don't, but I'm just saying, fine, okay, once. You brought him back the second time. Who are you going to blame now?
Jacob in New Hampshire, your thoughts on this story. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hey, I just wanted to ask, what if there's a guy in the second round like Mon that they do like as much as these first round guys, except they wouldn't have to give up. They get their guy without having to give up future assets to get him.
Yep.
What if that's their quote-unquote plan?
I think that's fine.
As long as the guy can play.
I think that piece to it is okay. We know we can get Mond at 48, and we'll take him at, or 46, whatever they're sitting there at, and that's where we'll take him. We like that guy. We know he'll be there. That's our plan. Fine, except I still think there's no guarantee he's there, and what have you done in the meantime? Because Kellen Mond is not going to come in here and play right away or at all in the first year. Like, I think I just don't see that in the cards. So what was your plan? I think their wish was Jimmy Garoppolo. And since Jimmy Garoppolo did not fall into their lap, they've just taken the easiest, cheapest thing available, which is Cam Newton, which is not really a plan.
No. So look, this a lot of this goes back to the beginning of the offseason where the best plan was both. The best plan was a good veteran stopgap guy and a guy in the draft who was going to need a year or two to develop anyway. So you needed to upgrade Cam Newton and you needed to upgrade Jarrett Stidham. You needed to upgrade both, not just one.
And so we're going back and sort of second guessing, but it should have started the day Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen walked into Robert Kraft's office in his home in Chestnut Hill and said, "We're sick of being treated like effing Johnny Foxborough. We want out." And Robert Kraft talked him out of it or said, "No, I can't let you do it." And like that whole thing that was detailed in the Dynasty book that Kraft, you know, so this is straight from Kraft's mouth. You know, that was a Kraft book, basically. So that's when he and Bill should have gotten together and said, "Okay, we're keeping him this year and we've patched this together now, but he's not long for this place. He wants out. So it's time to start planning for the future." And they let the draft go in 2018. They let the draft go in 2019. They let the draft go in 2020 without addressing that position, really. The Stidham doesn't count. That's a flyer. Or Etling. So that add that to the second guess. Like, how do you not do that?
It's mind-blowing.
How do you not do that when you've seen other teams, the Niners, the Packers, the teams that have handled this properly, they've gotten out in front of it and had the next guy ready to go? So how do you not do that? That is a fair second guess.
I mean, I'll tell you, last year, too, and we don't spend enough time talking about it, they didn't take one. They clearly thought Stidham was better than he was, or they were arrogant enough where they said, "We're not going to take one. We're just not going to do it this year."
Sam in the car. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to comment about the guy that called earlier and challenged your information, Mike, on the draft. And he obviously doesn't know football or watch football because he was saying there's so many guys still in the league that the Pats drafted. Well, yeah, there's a lot of guys in the league. There's also a lot of stiffs in the league. And if he watched how Cam Newton played last year, I mean, I love the guy, but he doesn't belong to the league. So the guy really should get his facts straight before he challenges your facts.
Thank you, Sam. My facts are better than your facts. He was defensive of Bill's drafts the last couple of years, his previous call, if you weren't listening. Like, that's even not worth wasting my time on. I think their drafting record in the past has been debatable, and I've, you know, debated a lot about they've had bad years, good years, and Pats fans get all defensive about it. And, no, look at this chart and this track record and this site says this. And so I've gone back and forth on that with Patriots fans for 20 effing years, frankly. But the last 2 to 3, you can't even – like, that's not even – I think most Patriots fans have stood down. Most Belichick toadies have stood down on that one.
Mike, he just had to spend a quarter of $1 billion in free agency to rebuild the roster.
I mean,
so it was wildly uncharacteristic of them because they didn't have players.
The owner said on the record 2 weeks ago, we haven't drafted well. So, I mean, I take it up with Robert if you don't. But I'm not arguing anyone against one stray guy. Most people understand they've had problems there the last several years.
And just quickly, I want to go back and listen to that call because that guy said, did he put a limit on the number of drafts? Like he said, there were still X number of starters in the league. Was he counting Brady?
I kind of zoned out, but yeah, he might have been. Yeah.
Right? Like I hear that. So what are we counting Brady now from 20 years ago? Does that count? I mean, that's just stupid.
Gostkowski's still in Tennessee, isn't he? David in Lexington. Hi, David.
Hey, guys, the thing that I want to point this out, what is the number one attribute of Bill that strikes everyone in the room in terms of what he's known for?
Control.
He's a control freak. Exactly. Maz, you touched on it a couple of times. He has always been that way. It's got to be his decision. And where does he come from? He comes from the school of what? Offense or defense?
Defense,
does he know offense,
yeah,
or does he know defense?
So it has to be.
He's not an offensive coordinator. He doesn't come from that school. So why would he know something about quarterbacking? Why would he not value? He doesn't value it.
Okay, so I mean, you're half right. You're overstating it. He knows quarterbacks are valuable. He knows that, and he signs other offensive positions. He just signed two big money receivers, two big money tight ends. Like, so it's not that. I don't think you're close, but you're not all the way there. I think what it is he comes from a time, he made his bones in the NFL in the 80s, right, with that Giants team, where Joe Gibbs and the Redskins did win three Super Bowls with three separate quarterbacks. And he, with the Giants, they won a Super Bowl with their backup quarterback.
Just another position.
And then he comes to New England, not all that much, you know, later in 2000, and he drafts Brady in the sixth round, and that's his guy for the next 20 years. And so it's probably in his DNA to say, yeah, you can just get a guy. You can use different guys at that position. It is just another position. You don't have to draft it high. You don't have to lose your mind over that position. It's an important position, probably the most important on the field. You just don't have to break your back to go find it. And so that's what I think we're still stuck with, that psychology.
Yeah, again, that it's just another position, right? He treats them all the same. Like, as you were saying that, this popped into my head, which is if Bill could go back and build a team, and take anybody in his prime to start a team.
Oh, he'd go back to the 80s and take Carl Banks.
I was going to say, would he take Brady or Lawrence Taylor?
Taylor, come on.
So, and I say Carl Banks because Taylor was just a pure athlete that you didn't have to coach.
A pain in the ass,
just
too.
Go. Carl Banks was the middle linebacker and probably called the defenses and had all of Bill's X's and O's in his head and could play and, like, all the X's and O's, like, I don't know, that's just, he glorifies those guys.
Yes, and so there's a bias there. I'm just saying, you know, again, if all positions are equal, does Bill look at it and say Lawrence Taylor is a better, you know, better linebacker than Tom Brady was a quarterback?
Probably.
That's scary.
I mean,
that's scary, Mike.
Well,
because again, what it is diminishing the importance of the quarterback position over everything else. Because look, I love LT as much as anybody, but I'm taking a quarterback first. Who isn't? Like, and look, I get the whole idea of that conventional wisdom can be out of whack. Let's not go so far with that we ignore the obvious. The greatest quarterback in the history of the league who has been to 10 Super Bowls and won 7. I almost said 6 and 9, 9 and 6, but he now it's 10 Super Bowls and won 7. You're going to turn down that guy because all positions are the same?
Coming up next, more Cam Newton love. A hot rumor of a trade between you and the Green Bay Packers. And more intel on the Palace Q. And thank you for all the emails saying that's actually pronounced
coup.
Coup. It's an inside Felger and Maz joke, one of our few. And the fact that you don't know it tells me you're a new listener. So thanks for tuning in. But more on the Palace Q, more on this hot trade rumor with you and the Packers, and more love for Cam Newton coming your way right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Please, Mass.
What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Cam Newton doesn't need me to take up his cause. He's a former NFL MVP. There were problems last year, and I really do think it was a COVID-19 situation. And think about this. They went to L.A. for two games with only 3 days between them. They played on a Sunday. They played on a Thursday. On Sunday, they looked great against the Chargers. It was that Thursday night game against the Rams that it went off the rails. You know, and Newton, he denied having brain fog in the aftermath of having COVID. Something wasn't right because pre-COVID, not a huge sample size, but they beat the crap out of the Raiders. And I think they could have given the Chiefs everything they could handle. They did. They did give the Chiefs everything they could handle without Cam Newton. So at a time when we've heard so much about guys who aren't going to be there or who say they aren't going to be there, there's been a lot of huff and puff over the course of the last week. We'll see how many houses get blown down. But when Cam Newton is there day one, and when you consider all the guys they've added at the skill position, specifically tight end and receiver, to help him, I think we're going to see a different Cam Newton this year. And I think if Bill Belichick believes that, that makes him more likely to say, thank you that there's going to be five quarterbacks taken before I pick at number 15, instead of I have to go get one of them.
Again, I don't think Cam Newton's related to the draft, but Mike Florio does like himself some Cam Newton, but I also think he's reflecting what's coming out of Foxborough, too, because you've heard other people just parrot the same stuff. Mike Reese has written, and there's been a lot of people, Ben Volen, who've written a lot. Not that Ben Volen is a, you know, cartel member or anything, but I just think this is how the Patriots feel. That's what's outrageous.
Again, the tweet from Mike Reese of ESPN Boston yesterday was, Cam Newton is there leading the charge on day one of these voluntary workouts. And the other people tweeted at him. And he, again, I just think he's parroting what he's being told. I mean, he's a great reporter. But people tweeting at him, hey, you know, like anyone else there? Yeah. But the tone was like, yeah, but Cam Newton is leading the charge. That needs to be known. That's just telling you right now, he's the guy.
You know, the more I hear that Florio cut, the more annoyed I get.
Oh, good.
Like so again, because I keep going back to that one line. Well, they played in San Diego, or you know, they played the Chargers on Sunday, and they won, and they look great. And then 4 days later, they look bad. How is that related to COVID fog? Can you explain that one to me? Why is that COVID fog? Why isn't it as simple as the Chargers sucked and the Patriots look good, and then they played a good team and looked like garbage? Why does COVID come into that at all? What's his reasoning there? That's really irritating the crap out of me now.
Well, but it's not just him. It's the team's putting that out there, too.
I don't get that. Like, what? COVID affects you more in the short term? That, like, if you're asked to do, like, he was tired? Is that the deal? What is the logic there? Whether it's team logic or Florio logic, what is the effing logic? That's idiotic. They sucked in that game. He threw an interception on a screen pass. They scored 3 points. He was inept.
And benched, I think, in that game too, right?
Why do we have to make an excuse for him? Why?
Because you're trying to prop him up. So the Pats are trying to prop him up, and Florio, as a Cam Newton guy, is trying to prop him up.
Oh, my gosh, that is so annoying. Every time I hear that cut, I get madder.
13 months after Tom Brady left, and 4 years after Brady and Giselle walked into Kraft's office and said, we want out, this is the best you can do. This guy.
They needed to upgrade the entire quarterback depth chart. They needed to upgrade the starter, and they needed to upgrade the backup.
They've done neither. It's the same two guys.
In fact, I would go so far as to say, dare I say this, and this is scary, Murray. They were better off last year when they had Hoyer as the third guy.
Well, yeah, at least you had another guy who could throw and was competitive in that Kansas City game until he got into the 20s. But still, it is ultimately, and I said it earlier, it is last year all over again.
It's worse.
Meanwhile,
a hair worse.
It's worse.
Meanwhile, I teased two other things. More details on the Palace Q and a hot trade rumor. Let me just do this with callers. Ty and Kingston, go ahead.
How you doing, guys? I was just curious if you guys saw any truth to that leaked photo of Jordan Love for the 15th overall pick, and I guess we land the 29th too, which I don't think that part's true, but I love that idea because he's been in the league. He's been coached by a Kyle Shanahan disciple in Green Bay. Bill's been able to see him. I just think that would make the most sense.
Okay, Ty, how about Nick in the car? Go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say the same thing, too. So basically, what's the Apple Watch say at this point?
Okay, Jordan Love, this hot rumor. Thanks, Nick. I just wanted to put you together. There was a picture floating around the internet this morning of a stack of papers on a desk in Green Bay showing trade possibilities, one being with the Patriots, where they trade the Patriots' Jordan Love. The Patriots move down to 29 from 15. And then there's some other...
Yeah, Patriots trade down from 15 to acquire Love, the 29th pick and a fourth-round pick.
So they get, I'm sorry, the Patriots get Love, 29, and a fourth.
Mm.
And the Packers get 15.
Yep.
Okay. And I just was listening to Beadle this morning. He said it's total complete crap. It's not even a brown check mark. It's a brown smeared check mark.
It's a brown stain.
Yeah, it's a brown stain. It's not even a check mark, right? It's just a nebulous stain. It's a blotch of brown. It's so full of crap. It's a brown stain, not even a check mark. So, like, I don't know what he used to decipher that. Like, to tell me that's not real, just trust him. Like, it's garbage. Fine. Would you do it?
I would not. The Patriots might.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't want him. The fact that this kid ultimately wasn't even the backup last year, what's that say about Jordan Love?
Well, so this is why I'm laughing, because I actually think there's a chance the Patriots would do it, because they look at it and say, so we got number 26, and we'll take number 29 this year for number 15. We'll do it.
Just because they want to do that.
Yeah, because they'd get the extra for it in their mind, or we get a first last year. Like, I you know, so would I do it? No. Because, again, now you're letting someone else pick your quarterback for you. And at least at 15, you pick your own defensive player, and they need impact players on that roster, young impact players.
So to me, it's close. Like, again, like I said, I'm less, you know, horny how they get their quarterback at the draft. And if they trade 15 to move down to 29 and get Jordan Love, that's kind of like drafting a guy. It is. It's just a hair removed from actually drafting them. So, like, I'm okay with that. I wouldn't do it, but I would be okay with it if that's not straddling a fence for you too much. I think the Packers would be nuts. And I do. I look at this from the Packers' perspective a little bit. I'm a Packers fan. It's like, no. You're one of the smart ones. Don't be the dumb one. Don't be New England, which has an old quarterback that's making noise about leaving and doing something else, and leave yourself bare at that position. You were smart to draft the guy last year. You are smart to develop the next guy. You are smart to ignore whatever Aaron Rodgers is doing or saying and preparing for your future at the most important position in the sport. Continue to be smart. Don't be stupid. Don't be New England. Don't sit there and lose your star veteran quarterback and have nothing to show for it for 2 years running. Don't be that team. Don't be the Pats. Do what you're doing. You did it once. Try and do it again. You're being smart. Don't give up on Jordan Love. So he's going to take 2 years to develop instead of one. Big deal. And even if you miss on Jordan Love, even if he sucks, because he couldn't play last year, and who knows, maybe you picked the wrong guy, it's still the right approach.
Well, that's how I feel. Again, keep taking him. This is why I would take two in this draft if I'm the Patriots. Draft two quarterbacks if you have to. But you got to find the next guy. I'm not playing this stupid game every year if I'm Robert Kraft.
Meanwhile, finally, quickly, back to the Palace Q.
Yeah.
Which I know, again, is coup, but it's a Felgram has inside joke.
Yeah, it's a Q.
Yeah, do you actually have that drop?
It's a mutiny. It's a Q.
Good guy, Matt in Framingham.
I have it saved at home. I don't know.
I mean, it's one of the best drops in the history of this show.
It's a mutiny, a Q.
So it was said once by one of our good loyal callers with a little bit of a Boston accent.
And then became an intern.
And then he became an intern here on the show, and it's turned into a thing now. So it's no longer Palace Coup, it's Palace Q.
It's a mutiny. It's a Q.
So right when Brady was saying, I want to leave Robert, and Robert wouldn't let him, that led Belichick to go looking himself, according to Seth Wickersham. Here's Seth Wickersham, the author of that original ESPN story, on a recent podcast where he went back and was talking about all those things that were playing out at that time. And here's what he said about Bill Belichick. Jimmy, can you fire that?
At the time, I think that there was a sense that, you know, Brady wasn't going anywhere. And, you know, had Bill left the impression that he might be open to a move. And, you know, there were some reports that came out at the time that the Giants were looking at him. I think he talked to the Redskins and the Washington football team and the Dolphins about sort of their openings and, you know, it was unclear whether he was interested or not, but he was still talking to them. And subsequent reporting has only sort of shown how, you know, in that offseason, you know, Brady skipped the offseason program for the first time in his career and how he had just kind of had enough. I think that he wanted out of this contract at one point and, you know, maybe to be released. And at the end of the day, you know, they both sides played a little bit of hardball.
And they pieced it together for another couple of years. Two things. One, should Robert have let Bill go negotiate a new contract and leave for the Redskins or the Dolphins or the Giants?
No.
Brady's still here?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
So.
Ah, yeah, now, Maz, huh?
That's, of course, what we're talking about, Maz.
Well, I know. I thought you meant independent.
And then Brady never would have left.
He'd and you still... get re-energized, Brady. The Brady you just saw in Tampa? Yeah. Bye, Bill. Bye.
No. I still think he did the right thing. You picked the coach over the quarterback there. The problem is that they didn't have a plan.
They should have drafted the next guy immediately that draft. Immediately.
Boy, that was a tumultuous offseason. Huh? That's when McDaniels got back on the plane.
Well, so right. I was going to say, was that the year they were sitting on the board and Lamar Jackson was there? You know, whenever that shook out and you kept it together for another couple of years, you should have said right then and there, we've got to start planning the next thing because this is only going to last a couple more at most. And they didn't do it. And they didn't do it the next year or the next year or the next year. Huge fail. But the other thing is, well, you patched it together then in 2008, you know, early 18, when Brady wanted to leave and Bill started looking elsewhere. You could have done that one more time and gone another couple years with Brady and just kept it together as uneasy as it was because you did it once before. Could you just have done it one more time? I think that's a fair second guess, too. What is just wrong is what they did, which is let Brady go and then just sit here with nothing at the position for now going on 2 years. That, I can tell you categorically, is wrong. Here's an update from Big Jim Murray. When we come back, the big board throws for defensive ends, and we'll take more of your phone calls at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry lot. 98.5. Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
I would aim on the second page, Murray, just to do your thing. Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
All right, here we go. Oh, boy.
God, you throw like a... That is unbelievably bad.
Well, it's a marker. I don't know how you want me to throw the thing. I need a baseball.
Like Joe Kelly back here.
Yeah, really. Wade Miley of throwing markers. Top right.
I'll see you later, Jimmy.
Trey Flowers out of Arkansas, a 6'2", 270-pound, 4'3 defensive end. Feels like a stand-up linebacker in their scheme.
Yeah, exactly.
Flowers has impressive upper body strength and lower body power. He's effective stacking and shedding, and his motor runs high.
I like the high motor guys.
He lacks the twitch. He lacks the twitch and bend.
Don't we all?
You know what they say, nothing like a little twitch and bend in the afternoon.
Yeah, no, I've lacked the twitch for about 15 years.
He lacks the twitch and bend to be a threat off the edge and the length to be a 3-4 end, but he plays the run well enough to end up as a rotational player.
Yeah, I also lack the length.
It sounds like a Patriots kind of guy.
Okay, here's, play a 3-4
yeah, I got it. Here's yeah. the...
And with the second pick of the fourth round, number 101 overall, the New England Patriots select Trey Flowers, defensive end from Arkansas.
Another hit for the Felger and Maz big board. Trey Flowers at defensive end. Yeah, that's what we're going to be shooting for right now. The Felger and Maz draft board, the big board. An exclusive draft coverage is brought to you by the Peterson School, drafting the hardest working people in the trades in Woburn, Westwood, and now Worcester. Classes enrolling now at petersonschool.com. I've got my Athlon's guide, my Lindy's guide here on a cardboard piece of... cardboard. And these guys are going to chuck little footballs at me, Peterson School footballs with highlighters embedded in them.
I'm ready to go.
And whatever they land on, go on the Felger and Maz big board. You know the drill by now. Here's the first page. I'm going to open up to the first page because I think there's a chance they could take the number one defensive end on the board.
Hell yeah.
Whoever that might be. So here, Maz, don't hit any equipment. Don't hit me. Maz took out a TV monitor yesterday, if you were listening or watching, so we've moved to the other side of the room. Go ahead there, guy.
Nice sweater vest. Look good with a stain.
Don't hit me. Just go.
Oh, that was high.
That was. I hit the blue thing. Oh, boy. The blue
thing. Oh, it's perfect. You got it. That's Quitty. Quitty Payne.
Quitty Payne?
Q-W-I-T-Y Payne. Sounds like a country western.
Quitty Payne.
Yeah, Quitty Payne. Quitty Payne out of Michigan. Okay. We'll circle back and read you the bios here in a minute.
Yeah.
Let's go to the second page here.
He likes Michigan players.
In my Lindy's guide. Quitty Payne.
Quitty Q. Never mind.
Yeah. Murray, who, well, they both suck at throwing.
But TV.
Go ahead. Now you hit it.
Good job, Murray.
Is it the yellow thing right here or the pink thing right here?
A little top by the blue.
What color was your highlighter? Pink?
Pink.
Okay, so I got it. This is Wyatt Hubert.
Another country guy.
Wyatt, another one. I know we got Quitty Payne and Wyatt Hubert.
Well, our D-line's good.
That is like, he's from Kansas State. He's another defensive end. Put him on the board. Now I just switched magazines, so you got to give me a second.
All right, thanks.
So, I mean, I think defensive end is a real need right there. Well, and also, not just a need. It makes sense because I think the good ones are going to be on the board when the Patriots are picking.
I'm going to throw the green marker this time.
Okay, stand by. Hold on. Here's page 3 of the Athlon guide.
Green for 420, too.
Go ahead. There it is. Happy 420, everybody.
Oh, I missed badly. Dark green.
Over by the 12?
Left.
Right here?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good
dark green one.
Adetokunbo Ogunjayi.
The Greek freak?
Yeah. It feels like that way. He's Notre Dame. Adetokunbo.
Oh,
yeah. Okunduji.
He's
Adetokunbo Okunduji.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead. I got to go back to my location. Maz, talk for a second.
Okay. I want to know if he can play. When you first said it, I thought it was. Hold on, I'm sitting too. I thought it was something like Antetokounmpo. I thought you were trying to spit out something like that. So can this guy play? That's my question. Murray knows all these players. I don't know all these. Can this guy play, Murray? This Antetokounmpo guy?
I might be confused with the linebacker unless... Hold on. Because there's a linebacker from Notre Dame, too, that's rated pretty high.
Okay, we'll get to him in a second.
As long as it's not the Notre Dame quarterback, I'm good.
Here are selections.
That guy blows.
Here are selections at defensive end. Again, the first half of our New Country Western duo. Quitty Payne and... Who is the other? Wyatt Hubert.
Wyatt Hubert and Quitty Payne.
This is Quitty Payne and Wyatt.
Okay. Winona.
Okay.
This one's called Sacking the QB.
Quitty Payne is 6'3", 277.
Ooh.
Okay. So that's undersized for a down lineman, but sort of right up their alley for that
edge guy.
Elephant position kind of thing.
Yeah, he can set the edge.
6'3", 277. Strengths. Power-packed frame with excellent weight distribution.
Love that.
Including long arms and tree trunks for thighs. Again, we had this at the tackle position, which make for an ideal body armor for what he does best. I hope they tell me what that is. Payne possesses just average initial burst for an edge rusher, which the Pats are okay with.
Yeah, they don't emphasize that.
If you have too much burst, you maybe get to the quarterback too much, have too many sacks, and then they have to pay you too much.
Correct. No, they want you to stand up.
So or they sit your ass down like they did with
Chase Winovich.
Yeah.
That's too much burst. They want minimal burst so they can give you a minimal salary.
Oh, yeah. No. They want you to stand up the tackle and hold the edge.
And never mind. They just want you two-gapping anyway. Anyway, he possesses just average initial burst for an edge rusher, but coordinates his hands and feet well to leave would-be blockers stumbling, winning with a combination of length, power, and technique to affect the running and passing game.
Sounds good to me.
He incorporates clever dekes to the outside or in, stringing together moves like an NFL veteran.
Love it.
Okay, weaknesses.
Here we go.
Just average production to this point, given his talent.
Yeah, it's Harbaugh's fault.
Lacks consistent suddenness off the snap teams expect out of an edge rusher.
It's okay.
Consistently laid off the ball. So this guy's what's just that they snap the ball and he's just sort of sitting there still in his two-point stance?
No, that's good. That's what they want. They don't want you to be.
Again,
Lacks playing his sixth string.
You're going to make too many plays if you get off the ball too quickly.
You just stay there so you're not in the wrong place.
Reliant on his upper body strength for drag down tackles.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't know, but what a silly scouting report.
I thought he had tree trunks for legs.
He only has drag down tackles rather than exploding through his hips. You got to explode through the hips, young man.
Oh, yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do.
So he leaves some knockdown power on the table. emotions sometimes get the better of him. Brawling with blockers until the echo of the whistle and risking late hits and targeting penalties.
Another guy playing to the echo.
Okay, he is projected in the first round, though. Quiddy Payne put him on the board.
He's from Rhode Island, apparently, as well.
Oh!
Yeah, local kid.
There we go.
Yeah, okay. He likes tartar sauce.
Here's the second half of the Payne-Hubert, the Quiddy-Wyatt duo. Quiddy Payne and Wyatt Hubert. Seriously.
Wyatt Hubert is this guy's name?
Wyatt Hubert, Kansas State.
Oh, God.
6'3", 258.
Oh, he's undersized.
40 time of 4.75.
Well, he can so run.
Is that, is he can
oh,
run?
I don't know. Is that slow?
I don't know. I feel slow to me.
I thought for an end, maybe 4.7's okay.
Maybe. I don't know. He's short and slow.
It's listed under strengths, isn't it?
Strengths. Compact, powerful frame with what appear to be disproportionately long arms.
Gangly.
he's like Robert Williams or Langford has long arms.
Disproportionately
too, right?
Long arms. Helping fend off would-be blockers. He comes off the snap low and hard. Timing off the snap nicely. So this could counterbalance the other half of his country duo who just sits there when they snap the ball.
Guaranteed to get one of them right.
He's a nuanced rusher. That's not a good thing.
Subtle.
That's when you're nuanced, that means it's not evident what you do.
Sneaky good, like Minkovich.
Anyway, nuanced rusher. Incorporating several subtle but effective hand techniques to get free efficiently with impressive core flexibility and agility to dip in corner. Do you ever think that these write-ups are just complete hogwash?
Yes, no, totally. Yeah. Although I will tell you that
it's like Mad Libs.
I have subtle, very effective hand techniques.
Nuanced. He's a nuanced rusher. He's equally quick out of either stance with the lateral agility and spatial awareness to excel on twists and stunts.
Either stance meaning what? When he's got his hand on the ground?
I don't know.
Twists and stunts.
Weaknesses. High effort Rudy type with less than ideal physical traits when projecting to the next level.
Rudy type?
Shouldn't that's the Notre Dame kid be the Rudy type?
That's what it actually says, Rudy type?
So that means he'll be offside all the time.
I don't want this hardo on my team if he's a Rudy type.
Here's the second time we've come up against this description and his weaknesses. Are you ready?
Oh, God, this ought to be good.
Stubby, sawed off frame. You never want to be referred to as stubby. I'm sorry, it's just not. That's not what you want.
Let me do the walk again. Stubby guy's walk.
Stubby, sawed-off frame with broad shoulders and hips.
They'll either take both stubby guys or neither.
So while he's quick off the ball, Maz, he is too reliant on guessing the snap count to provide a consistent speed. So he's just guessing. That's why he's quick off the ball. Yeah. He just goes when he thinks it's coming.
Yeah, coach, I thought he said hut.
Average bulk and core strength. How do you know his core strength? To recover when he loses the leverage battle.
Two sit-ups and he quits.
Frequently substituted and moved all over the defense to create advantageous matchups, perhaps inflating his stats. Oh, this guy blows.
Yeah, he can't do that many reps on the bench.
I don't know.
He's average.
He's projected in the third round. How? Okay, here comes this. I'm sorry. No offense to this individual, but this is a tough name.
Is this the Notre Dame guy?
Yeah.
A-D-E-T-O-K-U-N-B-O.
Adetokunbo.
Adetokunbo. Agundaji. I'm not mocking that. It's just impossible to pronounce. Strong points. An overachiever.
How big is he?
6'4", 260.
Yeah, you could put on a little weight.
Light. An overachiever who became a valuable piece on one of the nation's best defenses. Ogundaji brings the kind of functional strength and relentless effort to make an early impact.
Functional.
You're functional. You know.
Functional strength. Like what? He can move furniture?
He can get open a jar of pickles. No problem. When you can't get that jar open, call on this fella. He has heavy hands and consistently works his way into the backfield with skilled hand use. These write-ups, they're so moronic. But some people live and die by him. They just do.
Yeah, he's heavy-handed.
Yeah, you're going to help me move a couch.
Okay, weak points. Ogundaji isn't an edge burner. He's a... and he's wound a little... What you looking at?
Yeah.
Don't talk to me like that.
I got bills.
Yeah, you want me to get this couch up that stairway?
He's wound a little tight. What was that? Yeah. Oh, my God. He's wound a little tight.
Stop talking to me right now.
Like my wife coming home from work.
And a lot on my plate.
Oh, my God.
Where's the service over here?
He's wound a little tight. Lighten up, Francis. It's not that bad. He's wound a little tight.
I can't believe I agreed to do this.
Lacking the flexibility to be a threat running the arc.
That is just so moronic.
What's the arc?
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. It was arcing around the outside of the play that he never makes. But how could he? He's so tightly wound, so like bent out of shape all the time.
This guy's not gonna make it.
Oh my God. He will have to make his living as more of a face up pass rusher who might have already maxed out his tools at the collegiate level. This guy sounds perfect for them. He's gonna blow, he's gonna come late, and he'll be cheap.
I'm so fascinated by the functional strength.
I know, I wanna know why he's wound so tightly. You have to tiptoe around the guy in the building.
Should be working for Amazon.
Here comes Ogun Dudgey. There's always something the matter with him.
Delivering refrigerators for Best Buy.
He has some experience standing up and dropping in coverage, but playing in space is not his strength, so why would you want him dropping in coverage?
Well, it's another slow guy. Yeah, he's good at zone.
Oh, my God, his summary. His ceiling isn't particularly high, but his floor is reasonably solid. Again, with that functional strength and effort he showed at the collegiate level. He can be a quality run defender and a solid number two pass rusher who fits best on the left side of an even front. Oy, oy, oy. Okay, that's good.
Well, they could use someone on the left side if they got Judon on the right.
They need to draft defensive front seven. So who knows? Some of these defensive tackles or ends that we put on the board just very may come to fruition, especially if he's tightly wound. This stubby, tightly wound little prick, but he's got functional strength. He's right up Bill's alley, right? So there's the Felger Maz big board. We didn't break anything today. We want to thank our friends at Town Fair Tire for the final word, Murray, right?
That's right. Yeah, again, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
We've been doing this 10 years, and this crap still makes me laugh.
Oh, my God,
time.
It's hysterical. The functional strength is the first time I've ever heard that one.
How is he? Well, he's functional.
Tightly wound is a great description. That's the first time I've heard that.
Tightly wound. Very uptight young man. All right, so that'll do it for today. Here comes Bruins coming. We're getting out early because the Bruins are early. The Bruins are puck dropping at 6:30.
Yep.
Pre-game coming your way right now, so no baseball hour. That will return tomorrow at 6. We will return tomorrow at 2 p.m. We'll see you all then.
Have a good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.